Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Cell and Gene, the podcast. I'm your host, Erin Harris, and I'm happy to introduce you to my guest, Sharon Rosenzweig-Lipson, PhD. She is the CSO at Life Biosciences. Sharon and I are going to dig deep into cellular rejuvenation therapies for the treatment of age-related diseases. But before we do, Sharon, thank you for being here. Welcome to Cell and Gene, the podcast.
And thank you so much for hosting me on your podcast today, Erin. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, good, good. Me too. Okay, so let's jump right in. Life Biosciences is a Boston-based biotech focused on the biology of aging. And the company, like we said, develops cellular rejuvenation therapies for the treatment of age-related diseases. So I'd love to hear from your perspective, Life Biosciences' mission and the age-related diseases it's focused on.
Absolutely. So Life Biosciences, as you mentioned, is developing therapies that really focus on targeting aging biology and aging-related diseases. Life Bio is looking to restore and prolong health span, which is, that is to say, we're going to maximize the number of healthy years somebody's living, not just living longer. We all saw during the pandemic that age really played a modifiable role in the disease impact. And the awareness that age is a modifiable risk factor for many chronic diseases really emerged during that pandemic timeframe. Through this incredible work that's being done by the scientific community, we now know that aging is not just the result of just random deterioration of our bodies, but rather that there is specific aging-related biology. And that's where Life Biosciences comes in. We're going to focus on that specific aging-related biology. So in our case, we're focusing on cellular rejuvenation technologies. That is to say that we're looking to restore cells to a more youthful state. So we're going to take that aging process and reverse it for cells. We have two platforms in cellular rejuvenation. One is a partial epigenetic reprogramming, and the other is chaperone-mediated autophagies. Right now, our focus is on two lead indications, acute and chronic optic neuropathies. But beyond our lead indications, we're evaluating the potential for cellular rejuvenation to treat a broad number of different diseases of aging. And we already have compelling preclinical data in neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's disease and frontotemporal dementia, as well as other ophthalmic disorders, including age-related macular degeneration and other forms of retinal degeneration.
Good. Okay. Thank you for all of that background. It's really helpful. You mentioned one of the platforms that I want to talk about first. I'd like to discuss the partial epigenetic reprogramming platform that you just referred to. The modality is gene therapy and an indication is optic neuropathies. Talk to us a little bit about the partial epigenetic reprogramming platform and how is it in fact reversing the biology of aging?
Absolutely. So epigenetics itself is really the study of how positive and negative lifestyle factors, exercise, smoking, drinking, et cetera, aging, disease, or influence effectively how your genes work. So during aging, what we're focused on, epigenetic changes such as DNA hypermethylation occur, which triggers changes in the patterns of gene expression. Now, a lot of this work began with Dr. Yamanaka's Nobel Prize winning discovery that if you express four transcription factors, OCT4, SOX2, KLF4, and c-MYC, or OSKM, together, you could take a mature cell and return it back to a pluripotent stem cell. So you can take it from all the way from mature all the way back to a pluripotent stem cell by removing some of these epigenetic marks that we see during aging. And that was really a foundational advancement in the field. This was further advanced by Dr. David Sinclair's team at Harvard, who went on to demonstrate that you could remove the c-MYC and only use three transcription factors, OCT4, SOX2, and KLF4, or OSK, to show partial epigenetic reprogramming. And in this case, rather than converting cells all the way back to pluripotent stem cells, now you can convert a mature or aging cell back to a more youthful state, but importantly, while maintaining cell identity. And maintaining cell identity is really important because we want a retinal ganglion cell to remain a retinal ganglion cell, or a lung cell to remain a lung cell. We I don't want to say good all the way back to a stem cell that could then be anything after that. And so maintaining cell identity is critical. And so by using this technology with OSK to reverse the biology of aging and restore cells to this more youthful state, partial epigenetic reprogramming has the ability to address many different diseases of aging. As mentioned before, our initial focus is on the treatment of acute and chronic optic neuropathies, where there's high unmet need and the huge potential for this technology to restore visual function.
Good. Okay. It's fascinating. I'm excited to learn more about this as we go. I think the science of what you're talking about is incredible. Before we dive into Life Biosciences lead program, talk to us a little bit about how and why gene therapy as a modality. You know, why is gene therapy best suited for what you and your team are trying to accomplish here?
So in this case, we're trying to deliver these three very large transcription factors, the SOC4, SOX2, and KLF4. And by, you know, we need gene therapy. We need to be able to deliver these large factors. And gene therapy is the way we can do it. Right now, there aren't small molecules that can do what we need to do. So by delivering these three transcription factors through gene therapy, we can do it. So we're currently using AAV2 as a vector, which has been used to deliver gene therapy targets to the eye. And through the use of an intravitreal injection, we actually have the ability to deliver OSK directly to the retina. So it's a great approach for using this gene therapy approach to bring it right to the target. For life, what we're doing is actually we're developing a dual vector. So we're actually using two AAV2 vectors, doxycycline-controlled TET-on system, what we call ER100. So in this case, OSK will only be expressed when doxycycline is administered. So we're going to give it a single intravitreal injection, and then we're going to administer doxycycline over time. When we administer doxycycline, OSK will be expressed. When we don't administer doxycycline, OSK will not be expressed, allowing us control over when OSK is turned on and off, depending on whether doxycycline is present or absent. Okay, so in addition to using these AAV2 technologies that we're using now, we can certainly imagine that as the program progresses, that we could use other delivery technologies such as lipid nanoparticle approaches to for gene delivery. But right now, we're using the AAV2.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. I want to continue the conversation on OSK that is being advanced in two optic neuropathies, the rare eye disease of aging, non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. Hopefully, I'm giving that justice. It's a mouthful. Presenting similar to a stroke, but in the eye. And there's no drug currently available, and glaucoma, of course, a common condition where significant unmet needs remain. So, can you talk to us a little bit more about OSK and what the progression is that we're looking at?
Yeah, so let's just talk about the diseases that we're interested in a little bit. So we're initially focused on these acute and chronic optic neuropathies that involve the retinal ganglion cells of the eye. And this is an area where there's degeneration. It's common in older adults, and where there's also a precedence for being able to deliver gene therapies. So with respect to NAION, or as you mentioned, non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy, this is really, as you mentioned, like a stroke of the eye. So patients wake up in the morning and suddenly can't see out of one of their eyes. It occurs in, you know, a small number, 15,000 to 25,000 people per year in the US. But importantly, it is the most common acute optic neuropathy in patients over the age of 50. So there's an age-related component to this, to NAION. And unfortunately, there are no treatments currently available. So once it happens, you've lost a lot of the vision in your eye, it's gone. The other disorder that we're focused on early on is primary open-angle glaucoma, or POAG. Okay, this is the leading cause of blindness for all people over the age of 60. So again, there's this age-related component to what's happening. This one is a larger population, 3 million people in the US. There are no lasting treatments for glaucoma, only disease management. So what Life has been doing in its collaborators is we've been really looking at whether or not these cellular rejuvenation technologies, or more specifically, OSK, whether we have the ability to treat these disorders. And so some of the initial work focused on demonstrating efficacy of OSK in mouse models of glaucoma, optic nerve crush, and retinal aging. Excitingly, last year at ARVO, Life Biosciences and our collaborators were the very first in the field to show that cellular rejuvenation can restore visual function in a non-human primate model of Nyon. So we made that translation from mouse to non-human primate and from this chronic optic neuropathy to this more acute optic neuropathy in Nyon. And what we were able to demonstrate was that intravitreal administration of OSK significantly restored visual function as measured by a pattern electroretinogram. That's just a measure that can be used to measure visual function. And the other thing we were able to demonstrate was that we were able to improve axon density. So as these RGCs are degenerating, we were able to restore or improve axon density. So by doing this work in the NHPs, we were able to demonstrate that after this intravitreal injection, we could A, deliver gene therapy that got through the inner limiting membrane of the primate eye. So that makes it different from a mouse, and get it to the retinal ganglion cells. And by doing that, we created a good predictive model for therapeutic success in humans. So we've now gone from mouse to primate, and we believe it's a good predictor now of the efficacy we'll see in human. And so with this significant validation of the platform in hand, we're now rapidly advancing toward the clinic, and we are planning to be in the clinic in 2025.
Fantastic. For sure, we would like to have you back in 2025 to give us an update on some of the data that you've incurred since having started the clinical trial.
And we would love to do that.
Good, good. I want to talk to you a little bit about getting back to the AAV portion of this. Life Bioscience has partnered with Forge Biologics to manufacture AAV for the cellular rejuvenation technology. Now, like we talked about, as you're progressing toward the first human clinical trials, how early on did you seek CDMO partnership with Forge and why?
So I think we began our relationship with Forge and started that at the point at which we had in hand some of this non-human primate model data, which allowed us to believe that we really had our path to the clinic well underway. And so now what we want to do is we wanted to do early on have enough time to scale up the process to create a robust process before initiating a GMP batch. So there was additional efficacy work that we're still doing. And we had the time then to work with Forge to develop a robust process. The other thing, as I mentioned, is we have this dual vector system. So we really need to be, working on it full force for both vectors and making sure both vectors are delivering the way we need to early. And Forge has been a great partner to work with on this.
Good, good. Okay, glad to hear it. Well, we have reached the end of our formal discussion. And at the end of each episode, as my listeners know, I try to get a feel for who my guests are outside of the office of the lab. And so my question for you is, what is on your 2024 bucket list? Whether it's, are we traveling more? Are you spending more time with friends and family? Slowing down? I think that tends to be one of mine, but yeah, what's on your bucket list?
Well, before I get to my 2024 bucket list, I just returned from my 2023 bucket list vacation.
Where did you
Okay.
go?
So we just returned from this incredible trip to Africa. So we went to South Africa, Uganda, and Kenya. And so in South Africa, we had this chance. First of all, it's just beautiful there. And so we got to see this incredible scenery. We got to explore. My family, my kids are all adult now, so we got to explore all the fabulous wineries. We went to the Cape of Good Hope and we got to see this amazing penguin population that they have there.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, it was fabulous. And then we went to Uganda and we went to this Burundi impenetrable forest. Okay, that's scary enough just to say that. And we went on a gorilla trek and we literally went through the jungle and were up close and personal with a gorilla family. We got to spend
Unbelievable.
an hour with the gorillas. I'm telling you, it was amazing. Now, they tell you you're supposed to maintain like this 5-foot distance. Apparently, the gorillas didn't get that memo. And so they got even closer to us than we were getting to them. And this big silverback just sort of walks right past me in the middle of it. It truly a once in a lifetime experience.
I'll say. We're in every and there was no issue. They
They're well
fully were good.
habituated to humans, and so before
Yeah.
they don't bring into the gorilla families until they're ready to, be safe around people.
Sure.
But interestingly, in this post-COVID environment, we all had to wear masks only when we got close enough to the gorillas to protect the gorillas.
You know,
Good.
everyone needs to be protected, I
Exactly.
understand.
And then from there, we went to Kenya, to the Masai Mara, and we went on a safari. And literally there we landed in the middle of the savannah. Okay. And we got to see lions and elephants and leopards and buffalo, cheetahs, zebras, giraffes, antelope. It was just amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So it's really a fabulous, fabulous trip. So in asking about 2024, we haven't quite figured out what we do next after such an incredible experience.
I was going to say, I'm not sure
The
how you
vote.
top that.
Yeah, I think the votes from the family are coming in right now for places like Antarctica, Morocco, Greece. So we haven't made decisions yet, but all to be determined.
Well, when we come back and to discuss the first in human clinical trials, I would definitely want to be updated on where you and your family, where your adventures have taken you next. That's really
Love
exciting.
to.
Good, good. All right, listeners, that wraps up this episode of Cell and Gene, the podcast featuring Life Biosciences, Sharon Rosenwake Lipson. Sharon, thank you so much for your time today and all of the great insight you shared with us. This was really, really a great episode. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, be sure to visit us at cellandgene.com and encourage your peers and colleagues to subscribe to Cell and Gene, the podcast as well. And we'll talk to you soon.